Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Boy, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox, looking at some of the comments about the tattoos. And thank you for everyone noticing my wonderful soft robe that I'm wearing today on the show. It's just one of those cold, chilly mornings in the basement, so I needed to borrow my wife's robe to keep me warm.
So do you have a robe, or you just prefer her robe?
Oh, I don't have one. No, I'm a man, so I don't.
Okay.
I don't generally wear
They make Star Wars robes.
He's actually my silky robes in the wash.
I know, my smoking jacket, they're called. No, I don't have one, and I don't ever wear one. Like, this was just a special occasion. I wasn't feeling right, and I thought, I really don't want to risk getting sick again after this weekend, so I'm just going to dress warm. Out of necessity. So here I am today on the stream.
So do you want to buy one now for yourself?
Not a chance. I'll just steal my wife's whenever I get an opportunity. That's what guys do. They steal from their wife.
See, I do that True. With my husband. I wear all of his t-shirts.
Oh, yes.
They're comfy.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Even his pajama, like, he doesn't really wear pajama pants. You know what I mean? I feel like guys wear like basketball shorts to bed, but you know, the pajama pants, I take those too. They're just comfier.
Yeah, sweatpants, shorts like that, yeah.
They're a little big. You just roll them a bunch of times.
I would say this, and I don't know if I'm the only guy. You just wear them indefinitely. It's not like you're washing them all the time, right? Like, you're only wearing it at night. How often do you wash the pajamas?
It kind of depends, I guess.
Every other day.
What? No, not every
other
day.
Carl, no. You're not. Your water bill's through the roof. You're
Get
doing so much
here.
Laundry at your house.
I live
house.
In the city, and so therefore we don't have water bills. So
maybe once a week. I don't know. Get through the week and then do it. Yeah. I'm not going to be weird about that.
At the most, once a week. All right, let's do the short list.
You people are gross.
The Mark Cox short list.
My understanding is, as of now, correct me if I'm wrong, California hasn't made the request to use them yet. Why is that?
You know, I'd have to defer to the incident commanders.
You know, I'll have to defer to someone that knows that answer. When you're the head of FEMA, you need to know that answer, which shows you that they don't know what they're doing.
There's so much mistrust and finger pointing. Let's just get the facts and let's get them out quickly. Let's stop the finger pointing. Let's just assess the truth. I'm not interested in who's to blame. I want to know what happened.
Not interested in who's to blame. Okay, I get that. Why? Because you're probably one of the people that they're going to blame. Don't point the finger at me yet. I'm doing everything I can here. At least I was in the country when this happened. Like the L.A. mayor or whatever that was out. Ugh.
Is it includes billions of dollars to strengthen wildfire preparedness, resilience, and response.
That was Joe Biden in 2021 saying that part of the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill was to spend billions of dollars on wildfire prevention, which makes me wonder, what did they spend that money on?
His legacy is going to be his final year, in which he was seen to clearly be in cognitive decline and yet wouldn't give up the presidency. Right.
I think that's his whole presidency. Joe Biden's whole presidency was cognitive decline, and we saw that going into this. I think one of the reasons why they hid him purposely was based on the idea that they didn't want him to show this to the public. And Greg Gutfeld, I think, coined it best when, after the debate, he pointed out that the Democrats in the legacy media that hid this for as long as they did were not mad that this story was, you know, oh, you're such in cognitive decline. It's not like they were duped. They were mad because you, the American, found out about it. You weren't supposed to find out about it. They were doing their best to hide it. That's what they were really mad about.
Well, CBS, remember, I forget which reporter it was, but the correspondent finally came out and acknowledged that the most covered up story of 2024 was that, his cognitive decline. And I'm thinking, yeah, you guys covered it up. I mean, surely these White House correspondents who sit there, not that he did press conferences very often, but if you had any interaction with him, surely you would have noticed there was cognitive decline.
Absolutely. And it was obvious because every public appearance he had showed signs of it. Every single one. And it was just one denial after another from people that wanted to support him in the party. I wanted to play this for you. This was a comedian by the name of Danny Polishchuk. I think that's how you say his name. He does these like AI videos on YouTube. I think they're hilarious. He did an AI Gavin Newsom, a shocking statement on who is to blame for the LA fires. Can we play this? Tell me if you think this is funny. This is comedian Danny Polishchuk, clip 9.
A lot of people right now are looking to point the blame for who is responsible for these fires, and I am no different. I want to know who the fault belongs to for this city running out of water, even though we literally have fires every year. Every year we have fires. We literally have a fire season, and yet we ran out of water. When I find out who is responsible, let me tell you, they are going to be in big trouble. We do have some initial ideas about who may be to blame. Incoming President Donald Trump is at the top of the list. The guy is literally orange, the same color as the flames. Coincidence? Maybe. Climate change is a close runner-up. Even though we had more rain last year than in 1877 when we first started tracking rainfall in Los Angeles, climate change is a good thing to blame because that way no one actually gets in trouble for the sheer magnitude of incompetence. Rest assured, we are fighting the fires with every resource we have. We are currently spraying fire retardant in all affected areas. And we have firefighters from all over ready to help once they complete their week-long sensitivity training. Also, I'm not trying to place blame, but the insurance companies in this state pulled coverage from many homeowners, no Luigi. So maybe blame them. Yes, I diverted a ton of water to save some dumb fish. And yes, focusing on diversity over competence probably led to this. But everyone makes mistakes, except me, obviously. And an even more diverse and inclusive government can ensure mistakes like these are never made again. That's how it works, clearly. Also, didn't I just pass a law making AI deepfakes of politicians illegal? Not cool. Not cool at all.
That's good. You know what is suspicious? The Donald Trump, the orange, the connection there. Well, hadn't thought about that.
I mean, blaming him immediately. It is his fault, obviously. Well, I mean, it's so funny because look at Joe Biden spent part of this $1 trillion infrastructure package, all the fire prevention money that was our way. Makes you wonder, too, like they keep showing pictures of the reservoir and it being low. I got to tell you, there are so many issues, not only on the governor's side, but you look at the mayor and you look at the budget that was cut for fire prevention, not taking the resources offered by the federal government. What is going on? None of that looks good for them.
Agreed. It was mismanaged as a whole.
Oh, yeah. All right, joining us after the break, Jessie Jane Duff. If you weren't up, guess what? She is going to pump that energy straight into your veins right through the radio. There is no way around it. Looking forward to that. Tom Ackerman joining us this hour, too. We'll find out if he'll be buying steak for anyone. What did you say, Carl?
Kim Breakfast.
Okay, Yo's Kim Breakfast. All right. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Happy to be with you here on this Monday morning on 97.1 FM Talk. Yeah. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Whenever I get to fill in for Mark Cox, I know that when this one guest shows up that I really don't need coffee because this will inject straight into my veins. Jessie Jane Duff.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Uh-oh, we got to grab her back on the phone line. I know exactly what happened, though. She understood that she had to warm up her voice real quick, knowing that I did that big ramp up. Jesse Jane Duff, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Motivator. How are we in the cold state of Missouri?
I heard you're going to be partying with Mark Cox next week. How great is that? Have you ever met him in person?
Yes, several times, okay. And I still came back. So just keep that in mind. You know, he gets props. I came back to the show even after we met, you know, vice versa. He didn't can me. So all's well between Mark Cox and Jesse Jane Duff.
He is awesome. So, yeah, it's cold, all right. I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of craziness going around in the world. And, you know, we were debating some of it earlier between Kim and I. And part of the idea was, hey, remember there used to be drones flying in New Jersey? What happened with that? And, hey, remember there used to be this crisis down in the border? What happened with that? Man, there's a lot of things they're sweeping under the rug right now and hoping we're forgetting about, aren't they?
Well, I just think that most Americans aren't going to forget after the last 4 years, and even what we've gone through probably in the last, 20 years, where we have seen this slow drip, drip, drip change within our country that we hadn't ever experienced at such a rapid pace, particularly under the Obama years. We saw a lot of that reversed under the Trump years, but then Joe Biden just sweeps it all back. Drones, you're right. What happened with the drones? I don't know that we'll ever get a clear answer. I had heard many times that these were part of the United States government's program, nuclear detection devices, which was quite interesting. However, never got a solid answer back on that. As far as the illegal immigration goes, I don't think anybody's forgetting that. You know, right now out in California, they were having a celebration of migrants who were protesting the mass deportations. Well, you know, they better get buckle up, hope their bags are packed, because in a week, we will have Tom Homan able to start making corrective action very quickly, particularly with the criminal illegals that have been haunting these communities. This is not an act of compassion to allow people in here illegally, because when you allow people illegally, you have over 400,000 criminal illegals. You also have drug cartels now that are getting cover under these sanctuary cities. It is not compassionate to turn a blind eye to this, because in fact, it terrorizes many communities. And guess who gets impacted even the most? The illegals that are here who are not criminal, because they become terrorized and cannot say anything.
Part of two, we're going to look at some of these appointments after the fact. And, you know, part of what I think the Democratic strategy is going to be is to try to sandbag as much as possible to try to prevent further action from full control over Congress and the White House. So what would your advice be to Republicans right now? Because I've seen some opinion pieces saying that you can't fall for these Democrats' tricks. You got to push forward.
Well, I think everybody has an opinion right now, including me. And I think really, though, what people have to respect is the process. There has to be a process in which we are allowed to have hearings on every single person that is going in, ensuring that they are a viable person to support President Trump. And I think that's fair. When people start to politicize just simply holding the process, it bothers me. And I will say that because the founding fathers set up it so that the senators who have 6-year terms would have a say in this. This is something that's in our Constitution. So I don't know that many people are on point with this, because conservatives were in the same boat just 4 years ago, and many of the nominees got vigorous pushback from Republicans. So I don't know that things are different now, considering that Republicans pushed back very hard on Joe Biden's nominees, rightfully so. So if our nominees are good and they're going to be qualified, and they should have nothing to fear with this process, there should be no problem with this process. So are we getting in an uproar over nothing? That's my question. If you're qualified for the job, they've got to go through a nomination process. Why is it that there's such an uproar? I can't quite get my head around that. Those that may be deemed unqualified or should not be in the position will either withdraw or drop out or will not get fully vetted. I don't expect to see Kavanaugh-like hearings. I think that is really unfortunate to compare anything to Kavanaugh, who actually was an incredible man. And we do know the illegitimacy of the Kristen Baisley Ford that came forward to try to admonish him him and demean him. I don't see anything like that on the forecast for any of our nominees. I think there's legitimate questions. They should be able to answer them, and we should be able to move on. So maybe I'm a little bit immune to this because I figured this is kind of what happens every 4 years.
So I would imagine the first 24 hours once Trump is sworn in, they're going to be huge. What are the priorities you think he'll have, 1, 2, and 3, once he takes office officially? What do you think he'll do day one?
Well, day one, he's made it very clear that he's going to reverse many of those executive orders signed by Joe Biden, the 15 plus just on the first day. There's probably going to be over 200, I would expect, executive orders getting reversed. I'm sure he's already lined them all up. He already knows exactly what his priorities are. We're not going to catch him on camera saying, "What am I signing here?" as what they had heard Joe Biden say. We will see massive amounts of reversals because they reversed the very policies in which President Trump had put into place. One, illegal immigration, making sure that we will stop this massive flow. There's a DHS app where they can apply for their, they go on and they apply for their, what is it called? Not the status, so they can come in the country through this app and allow them to sit and wait for their court hearing. He'll probably take that down day one. I expect everything with illegal immigration to be reversed. Then also, we know that this offshore oil drilling that Joe Biden has basically tried to put in place so that it cannot be overturned by President Trump based upon a law. I remember hearing, I don't know if I'm correct, that any executive order signed within 30 or 60 days of a president's departure can be automatically reversed because it's being done to circumvent the next administration. Why didn't he do this, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, et cetera? And when it comes to national security, I expect that when he said that hell hath no fury as his scorn upon what's going on with our hostages still being held, many which we have now started to assume are dead, they are going to get the wrath. We're going to see some direct action by Americans immediately concerning the hostages that are still Americans and those that are Israeli citizens, because enough is enough. It's well over 400 days, yep, going into what, maybe 500 now. It's admonishing. Also, Ukraine. Vladimir Putin and Zelensky better start figuring out how they're going to divide up what is theirs and what is not, because enough death toll has happened for no progress to have been made in how many days. We're talking how many years now.
Yeah. Just think, things could have been so much different a week from today if it wasn't Donald Trump being sworn into office. By the way, Jesse Jane Duff, if people want to look you up online, where can they go?
Oh, it's easy to find me. I'm on Twitter all the time. Jesse Jane Duff, JesseJaneDuff. I'm not as active on Facebook or Instagram. I do have accounts there. I do have a Truth Social account, which doesn't seem to get any traction. So Twitter's probably my biggest go-to, and a lot of my videos get posted there.
Jesse Jane Duff, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
All right, motivators, take the hill. It's going to be a very quick week. We're going to have President Trump back in the White House.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Tom Ackerman, I saw you eyeing my robe.
Sweet robe, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to be a trendsetter, Ryan? Is Tom Ackerman going to show up in a robe tomorrow?
I have one. I have two, actually. Okay. I have one. I don't never wear it. I have a robe that has, I think, my initials on it or something. Then I don't even know where it is. Probably in the closet upstairs. And then I have a robe that I wear as a Halloween costume because my wife and I dressed as Rocky and Adrian.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Nice.
So I have an Italian stallion.
Oh, it's authentic.
It's, well, we ordered it on Amazon, but it looks like from Amazon. Yeah, it looks like it. It's not as nice as Ryan's robe. That's big time.
That's my wife. my wife's robe.
Big time.
But if the Cardinals had a robe night, that would be a great promotional item.
Yeah, really, for the winter warm up. That's actually a great idea. You should have a Cardinals winter warm up robe. Dude, Cardinals fans would totally buy that.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
They would. Cardinals fans would buy a Cardinals robe.
Yeah.
A portion, Cardinals people listen to this show, and a portion of the proceeds go to Cardinals Care. There you go.
So would the guys want a silky robe?
We got to do it fast, though, because the winter warm-up's this weekend.
Crank them out.
Let's get some robes and you know, really nice, like a nice stitched Cardinals logo on it. And you get it's the winter warm up robe.
You also have to go to the robe district in downtown St. Louis.
Cardinals caravan is this weekend. They usually give us part of the gig is for those of us who MC or the players who attend, we get as a gift a jacket. A Cardinals. I don't have it on right now, but I have it in the other room. One of them from one of the years. They should give us robes instead.
<That'd be perfect. laughs>
Cardinals caravan robes.
That's really cool. Who's going to be at the Cardinals caravan this year?
The caravan goes out to six different groups. So there's six different legs. Mine is going to Springfield, Missouri, Joplin, and Rolla. Whoa. And we have pretty good pitchers on that one. Andre Pallante, who's in the rotation, will be on that. Matthew Liberatore, one of the best relievers on the team. Young gun, man. Lefty is really coming to his own. He's good. Another really good one who was hurt all last year, who I think will be a factor this year, is Riley O'Brien. He's on the caravan. And our fourth one is Matt Kupierniak, who people don't know as well. He's a young prospect. Cool story about him, other than he's a good hitter, and I saw him in spring training last year, and he got our attention, is that he played for Albert Pujols this offseason in the Dominican League. So he's going to have some stories, I'm certain. I want to hear all about Albert, the manager. Those four players, and then we'll have Kyle McClellan and Benji Molina on trip. So that's going to be a fun trip. I always seem to get good caravan people. We got a good, good crew right there.
That's awesome. You know, I once went to one of those caravans when I was in Ohio to the Cleveland Indians. We were one of the affiliates, and I bought a David Huff jersey, Cleveland Indians David Huff jersey.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, this was him coming off his career year. He was still pretty young at that point before he took the ball off the face.
I was kind of pull for that team, you know. They haven't won. You know, whenever the Cardinals get knocked out, I always pull for Cleveland to take it in the American League, but they never are able to come through. But it's a great fan base. You know, they just, aside from the Cavs in Ohio State, I guess, they've suffered, you know. I mean, the Browns never do anything. I've always had a heart for the Browns. I don't spend any time in Cleveland yet. I feel for the fans and the teams, and I hope they do well.
Lots of pain.
I know your number one is Indiana, and I was reporting, well, I guess I was looking ahead for tomorrow. It looks like Illinois is playing Indiana. That should be a good game, right?
Be two angry teams because Illinois lost to USC on Saturday. They fell 82-72 to USC in Champaign. That's not a good loss at all, but they were also missing their top scorer, Kasperis Jakachonis, and I don't know how he's doing. He has a forearm injury. I hope he's doing better so that they'll be at full strength, although as an Indiana fan, I wouldn't mind if he missed one more game because he's really good. The Indiana got absolutely throttled on Saturday at Iowa. I mean, just got killed by like 25. It could have been worse than that. They looked so out of it and disconnected, like they had just met each other in the parking lot before they walked in. I mean, it was bad.
Did all the major teams just have a bad week last week?
No, major teams are good, but Illinois and Indiana had bad weekends. So they're going to be fired up to face each other, I think, on Tuesday. And it'll be in Bloomington. It's at Assembly Hall, one of the great places to see a basketball game. Crowd will be amped, but they'll also be edgy. They're not very happy right now with their team. But Illinois got a big game coming on Tuesday, and so does Indiana. And college basketball right now is owned by the SEC. The SEC just dominates. Number one Tennessee lost to Florida. Missouri's got them tomorrow. That'll be very difficult. Florida's ranked 8 at the moment, but by the time the poll comes out here in a little bit, later this afternoon, they should be top 5. They've been amazing. They've been running people.
We're going to get crushed.
SEC is just loaded, man. I mean, just one after the other. Auburn, number 2, is going to move up to 1, but they lost their best player. Kentucky's really good. You know, right down the line, they have a ton of good. Alabama's 5, and they're going to move up, too. I mean, the SEC is going to get like 12 teams in the tournament, maybe 13. I mean, Missouri's not bad. I mean, they're near the bottom of the league.
You know, NFL playoffs started this past weekend. There's one game left, Rams being one of those games. Any observations, the games over the weekend?
Yeah, I watched portions of them. A lot of stuff going on. I kind of come in and out on the NFL, but I really was locked in on last night. I was at a dinner, and we had the game on. Washington and Tampa Bay was the best of the bunch, and I love Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for Washington. This kid is so tough. he got blasted and, you know, got up bloody face and, you know, wipes it off, whatever. I'm going back out there and keeps on going. He's such a strong, talented quarterback with a great arm, and he can run for first downs. I love the Washington team. They are fun to watch. They've won now 6 in a row, I do believe. So they won their first game in the playoffs since Jaden Daniels was 5 years old. I mean, it's been about almost 2 decades since they won a playoff game, and so they have to be fired up out there. For that, they get to play at Detroit. Good luck. Detroit is the number one seed in the NFC and playing really, really well. But that should be fun, at least. Houston will get the Chiefs at Arrowhead to start things off on Saturday. Then it'll be intriguing to see what happens on the other side, because I thought the Packers, by the way, I did pick Washington to beat Tampa Bay, so I feel good about that. I had the Packers beating the Eagles. Turned out to be the Eagles pulled away, and their defense was too good, and they won 22-10. The Eagles are a very, very good defense. And now they have their quarterback healthy. They got the best running back in the game in Saquon Barkley. And so the Eagles took care of that. And then the Bills look great. They beat the Broncos 31-7. Yeah, they had no problem with the Broncos. They look great, just balanced, just methodical, marching down the field on you. They're tough, tough to handle. One more game tonight. Rams, Vikings should be good. They're playing this game in Arizona because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. They've moved it to State Farm Stadium in Glendale. Should be a really good game. Vikings got embarrassed at Detroit in the final game of the year that would have given them home field throughout the playoffs. Now they're the 5 seed. That's how far they fell just by 1 loss. So they'll be revved up to play, I would think, a Rams team in Arizona. We'll see how that goes. But the playoffs will be fun. The divisional round's my favorite, the one that's coming up this weekend. You got some great matchups. This is where, you know, the teams that had first-round buys get to move in and start playing, like Kansas City and Detroit. So it should be fun.
Awesome. I know you got other updates to do, and I can't remember what your out time
was. I'm good.
Well,
I'm actually good, man.
Well, you're good for, yeah, good for
you
now.
Follow college football more closely, right? So you'd be excited about maybe Ohio State versus Notre Dame for the championship.
You know
game.
Me, Kim. I am a bigger college football fan than NFL. I like
too.
Them both. I like the NFL, but I love college football.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we saw last week with Notre Dame beating Penn State was a classic. Mm. Two great brands going head-to-head, and Notre Dame did it again. You know, I did pick them to beat Georgia. I picked them to beat Penn State. I am not going to pick them to beat Ohio State. I think Ohio State is the best team in the country, the best roster in the country, and they are, you talk about playing angry, they lost to Michigan, you know, that's now been 3-4 games ago. And since then, they have just been dominant. I mean, they smoked Tennessee at home. They went out to the Rose Bowl, and they smoked Oregon. And then they went into this last game, and, you know, there was a lot of hype, I think, about Ohio State, but you wondered, could Texas make it a game? Could they? And it was a game, and it's a one-touchdown game, and Quinn Ewers, this is why I love college football. Quinn Ewers is the quarterback for Texas. He drops back to throw on 4th down. They need a touchdown. He's close. They need a touchdown to tie the game. He gets sacked, stripped of the ball by Jack Sawyer for Ohio State, who picks it up and runs for a touchdown, like 83 yards for a touchdown. Quinn Ewers and Jack Sawyer were roommates freshman year at Ohio State.
Wow.
So this kid, this quarterback, gets his playoff dreams ruined by his old roommate when they were back at Ohio State. Now he's the quarterback at Texas. And Sawyer will never have to buy a meal in Ohio ever again. I mean, he is a hero from here on out, even if they were to lose next Monday against Notre Dame, which I don't think they will.
Yeah, never have to pay for another tattoo again. Now, keep in mind, I'm a Michigan guy, so all this Ohio State stuff, I'm going to borrow a phrase from the 90s, gag me with a spoon. And
hey, you've beaten them a ton of times. But
I think that's true.
But, you know, they use that as motivation. And now they're revved up, and I think they're going to be great against Notre Dame, although I think Notre Dame will keep it close. I mean, if you were to put a wager on it, it's 9.5-point spread. I'd take the Irish plus 9.5. I think they can keep it a little closer than that. But no, Michigan's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. NIL money's rolling in. They got the best quarterback available. They recruit it. They recruit, and they get after it. They'll be fine.
Yep. Tom Ackerman, good seeing you again, and maybe next time we meet, we'll both be in robes.
You know what? Maybe you might have inspired me. I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to find out where my robe is. We're going to try it on, see how it looks.
You pour that glass of rosé while you sit in your robe.
Rosé.
or you know what I heard?
Are you drinking rosé, Wrecker?
I heard brosé. That's what one guy said.
Brosé. I don't know.
Well,
I had a couple of Cabernets last night. I know that.
I was going to say, you're out there signing autographs during the caravan. It's good to talk to you here, KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining
us. Buddy, good to hear you and see you, and we'll talk to you soon.
We have one more segment left for the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for the Mark Cox Morning Show. As Carl said, he's hobnobbing it today in Jefferson City, getting ready to inaugurate the new governor. Inaugurate? Is that a word or not?
Yes.
Really? It is a word. Okay. Don't want to look it up in the dictionary. Thank you for that, Carl. I don't have to do it now, but he is actually going to be there for the ceremony, so I'm sure he'll have some great stories to share with you tomorrow. And as we pointed out, this is his hobby, right? He goes to inaugurations. He'll be with Donald Trump a week from today when he's inaugurated to be president of the United States again. That's going to be another big ceremony. Very cool for him to use his time this way. I got to say, Kim, it's always an honor when I get the privilege to sit in and fill in and get to work with you. You're so good at what you do. I just wanted to make sure that's known.
Thanks, Ryan. I was thinking that earlier. You're really easy to
that
work
you're
with.
Good. Oh.
I was thinking earlier, I'm just really good. And I'm just really glad that you brought it up because I felt someone should and
that's
I didn't
right.
want to have to do it. So thank you. No, you're fantastic to work with. And the robe just makes it extra special today. So
I
want to thank your wife for her Liz Claiborne robe.
Oh, yeah.
But no, in all seriousness, truly, like there are just some people you really jive with. And you're one of those people where you're just, you know, we've never even met in person, but you're just so easy to work with.
Oh, I guess that's true. We never have met in person.
No.
Yeah, there's been a couple of times, a couple of shows I filled in, and I've always wanted to meet the people, and I've never had the chance to do it. Unfortunately, but you know, maybe one day that'll happen. And, you know, I was just telling Carl this. I get that opportunity to fill in, and I got to be honest. When you fill in, you are so good. I am not. It is not necessary for me to do this, but I got to tell you, I have so much fun doing it, and I absolutely appreciate every time I'm asked to do it, and I hope that I continue to get to do it. But you are so good at what you do, I'm just at awe. So I wanted to make sure that was known.
No, trust me, it's really fun to be able to work with other people, including you. So I very much appreciate when you get to fill in and I get to kind of take a back seat.
One last thing. Let's complain about the snow on the roads.
Perfect.
I saw KSDK did a story about this. Why is this street still like this? So this was it North County? Let's listen to it. I think they set it up in the clip here.
I have never been through this before, ever.
It's been almost a week since the first snow hit, and Hudson Street still looks like this.
This is the snow route. How's a fire truck and an ambulance going to get? Ambulance comes down this street at least a few times a month. So why is this street still like this?
City leaders telling Hudson they're doing the best they can, but they're shorthanded, which means every time he tries to leave his home.
I got stuck again right out here in front of the house. Right where your car is. I hope you can get out.
Wow.
Yep. Have you ever been out reporting and you got your car stuck or anything like that? Does that happen?
I'm sure it's happened. I did so many years of snow coverage.
Not even
Des Moines, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not much in Nashville. Although they did just get snow, too.
Yes, they
had like 6 inches, I think, of snow.
Yeah. Well, I used to watch it because a lot of, you know, streets, they kind of have the dips and they go up. They're little, just minor inclines. But when they're icy, I used to watch cars struggle sometimes because they would try to take it slow and then they would do the dumb thing, which was they would kind of like stop. Yeah,
look,
you stop momentum.
Your instinct is put on the brakes,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
you should fight that instinct, or else
get
stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen a lot of people try to make it up and couldn't, and they slide backwards. That is a terrible feeling, sliding backwards in a car, man.
Oh, yeah.
I give nightmares about that.
I was on I-70 one time driving back, and we had, I don't know, like 7 inches of snow. It was one of the scariest drives I've ever made. Driving on 70 near downtown, and I'm trying to go up a hill. I'm watching semis get stuck in front of me and sliding backward toward me, and I'm just thinking, Jesus, help me, help me, help me.
Jesus,
yeah.
Take the wheel.
I was, thank you, Carrie Underwood. Yeah, I was very, very scared. Thankfully, nothing happened, but it was so petrifying watching these massive 18-wheelers just out of control coming right toward me.
Yeah. I, you know, I got to say, when they all were just shorthanded and we don't have time to do all this, you've had enough time. Listen, you got to get yourself in check here real quick, because people expect this stuff to be done by now, and rightfully so. The people should be angry about it. You got to get your stuff together. I mean, this is not up to them to have to organize you to do your job. Like, I think in general, over with the wildfires, people are losing their homes and their lives, and they're very upset about that. I think people here in St. Louis should be upset when the government doesn't live up to their same expectations that they are paid to monitor and they're paid to take care of these sort of things. And if they can't do the job, then there should be accountability. Unfortunately, there's been generations of no accountability for any government in this area. So you got to not let that be the standard base of how things work. When things like this happen, you have to make sure someone's held accountable, I guess. Even if it's something as minor as getting the snow plowed or trash not getting picked up, basic services. All right, Kim, nice to work with you, too.
See you next time.
We'll see you later. Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.